Everyone be aware of that.
Let me share my screen.
So, and I'm going to go ahead and open our Noctua instance that we have, so we're ready to go. That's weird. I just got a message from Austin. Austin's down in Vegas, is he?
I think it's LA. Yeah, he might be in Vegas.
It's in LA.
You guys hear me?
Ah, yes. There you are.
Sorry, I was having some trouble with the internet. Yeah, Vegas.
Are you calling in on Skype then, or are you on the Zoom?
I'm on Zoom. I can see the screen.
Good. That's working now. Okay, good. Okay, so let's get back to the agenda here. The plan for today was to have some updates from all the different groups and folks that are on the call, and also to look at the Plantium version of the Noctua that we're getting ready for the upcoming Go meeting and the annotation jamboree that we're going to have. So I don't have anything real formal to do with that, but we just got it kind of up yesterday afternoon so I could actually test it. So maybe we'll kind of go through a little something together with it and we can answer some questions and so on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then we have some updates on ontology stuff. We've been doing some work in the PO with Brandon and Dario, and also Austin's been working on the plant stress ontology. So maybe before we get started, let me just bring up my list of participants here. I saw Luke was on the call. Are you there, Luke? Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me? I think it's working.
You there? You're very faint.
Oh, I can.
There we go. I turned it up a little bit.
Okay, how's this?
It's better. Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Is George there with you as well?
No, he is not, unfortunately. He's still traveling.
Yeah, okay. So what should we do first? Do you guys want to look at the Noctua first? Or actually, I wanted Justin to, let me just send him a quick Skype. So why don't we go around and do little updates before we, then we'll do the Noctua when Justin joins. I think he's just dropping his kids off. So Luke, do you want to tell us how things are going out in your world?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of the work we've been doing is in sort of infrastructural so far. So we've been doing a lot of work on our sort of plant-related instance of Aberalt and Able, reasoner-based access, and then we've been starting to look into actually using this with some experiments. So recently we've been doing some semantic similarity work based on some of the data that's available and has already been annotated. So I'm working on one thing, which is a semantic similarity-based search to find, to infer traits related to various genes, and we'll create a sort of genome map type interface for that. But I think it also might be good to, you know, brainstorm with you guys some other experiments we can look into.
It's quite hard to understand you, Luke. Is it possible to get a little bit closer to the mic? That's better. That's better for sure.
Okay, I think it's doing some auto leveling stuff, which is making it trail off if I'm talking, maybe. But the general idea is that we've done a lot of the infrastructure work so far that will help us use the data. So I think what we're looking for is some more specific idea of what experiments we can do and what data is available at this point.
Do you want to show us what you've been working on? I can see your screen if you want. I was just trying to pull up Aberal, but it doesn't seem to be loading.
I can drop a link. So I've made a so obviously one of the big problems with Aberal is it's been going so far is that it's pretty unstable. So I've been using some of the time I've got on this to create a subset of Aberal, which I've posted in the chat. But this has a lot of changes to stability and all this kind of thing. It needs a slash on the end.
It needs a slash on the end?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Okay. So tell us what this is going to do.
So it's a reasoner-based access. So like we have for particular ontologies, we can access things, data sets via Spark, or we can do semantic-based search on whatever text corpuses there are. I mean, what we've got so far is a sort of framework with which we can do things that you want, but we need to sort of discuss what those things are.
So how does this differ from Amigo?
Well, it's live reasoner-based access, which I don't think Amigo does. However, I was checking it out, and it does a supreme amount of, it has a supreme amount of functionality. So I'm unsure on the direction to go, to be honest. Or what
yeah,
novel
so we,
pieces of functionality?
At the moment, Amigo doesn't do any live reasoning. It uses the LAPI and ALP ahead of time and caches those in Solr. But yeah, we were thinking of adding services to do that, and those services could be Owlery or Aberl.
The technology to integrate it into Amigo, so it's not a whole matter of changing the platform as well.
Yeah, that's how we want to use it. Like you say, 99% of the queries that we do, you can essentially cache the inferences in advance, but there may be some interesting use cases where we allow people to construct on the fly Yale queries as you might do in Protégé. I don't know if any of the ontology developers use the Yale queries much in Protégé. So I think that's basically the idea here, is to give users on the web functionality of that DL query.
Yeah, exactly. So you can build a more interactive experience with it, I guess.
I know. Do you use that much, Lol?
Not so much, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Luke, you mentioned something about genes. So can you show us an example?
Well, this is still ongoing. I'm using some of the data sets from the website that George sent me, which is Genes and Traits Annotator. And I'm just using a sort of basic semantic similarity measure to go through and find some additional inferred traits.
I don't know if that link came through that you just sent me.
It seems to have...
I think I only got... Let me see, it's really super long. Let me see if I can highlight the whole thing and try that. Sorry. This is what you were looking at?
So is this... So what is the query about? So we are trying to find... What are we looking at?
So here we're using, here we have explicitly annotated traits for genes, and we're looking at using a semantic similarity measure to try and infer some new traits based on the ontology's structure.
Mm-hmm.
So you took this data file and this is embedded in this tool? Is that what you're saying? Or
that looked like an Amigo page you were just on, yeah.
It does look like
take the data from there. And
this looks like one of our GAF files, probably. What's the source of this, Luke?
It's pulling straight from our Solr.
Yeah.
By the way, we now have an API for that, so you don't need to construct URLs.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the query in URL? I forgot about it. It's just pulling out all the genes with...
This is all of the information, or I think it was...
All the genes with TO annotation.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I get it.
Yeah, it's a mixture of all the different ones. That's kind of actually kind of cool.
It's good. Yeah, maybe I should chat with George and see how some of the large phenotype, high-throughput phenotype data coming from John Doonan's lab can be worked around for annotation purposes and some reasoning by using Averell.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, right now you are getting the data from this table, for example, but where else we can get you the data? That will be another question to get to, or can we use some kind of a text mining to get you the data that you need?
Well, that might be interesting. I'd be interested in doing any text mining work as well. I mean, I think what I'm kind of missing at this point is what particular question we're trying to answer, because I mean, George is sending me data sets and saying, oh yes, we can use semantic similarity on this, and it's true, but I'm not so sure what we're looking for. So it's...
Yeah, so yeah, maybe we should think it out and then come back and talk to George about it.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks. And Justin is here, Elser.
Justin?
Yes.
Hi.
Sorry, I had to take my kids to the bus.
That's okay.
A couple minutes late on Tuesday mornings.
That's all right. So should we move on to, do we want to do another?
Not sure.
Yeah, okay.
I think Bobby alluded to this. Breaking news, don't.
Hello?
Yeah. No, it was something popped up on my mind.
Someone's talking to you on your phone. Okay, so this is the beta version, or the, I guess it's beta, it says beta at the top, for the Plantium Noctua. Justin, do you want to show people around? I can go ahead and log in. The first step, of course, is to log in. I played with you yesterday. One thing I noticed yesterday was, even though if you log in with GitHub, it still shows you logged in as your ORC ID, I think. I don't know if that's important.
It's because of the way that I user account set up is I have ORC IDs in there, so it just has that information.
Do we want to have both of those options, though? Like, what if someone has a GitHub but not an ORC ID?
Wait. Here's...
No, it's something that's hard-coded in the users.yaml file. So if I didn't have it there, it wouldn't show up.
Chris is saying something.
Yeah. So you log in via GitHub, but we don't require ORC ID, but we definitely prefer it for all of them. So there is a feature request open so that it shows the person's name as well as their ORC ID there. But now, it looks
Yeah, that'd be kind of good for keeping track of.
Sure. Yeah, but after a while, but I don't know how many users you expect here, but yeah, don't worry, that feature's on the cards.
So in terms of our workshop that we're going to have, one of the questions that I had, there's a note in the Go instructions for this that you have to be registered as a Go curator. Is that going to be important, or is that only for the Go version?
Justin, how have you set it up for the Plantium one? Are you
if you're talking about the what, like they have to be set up in the users.yaml, I think right now it's just me, Lowell, and Ponkage.
So you have your own users YAML?
Yes.
Your own copy of it.
I stripped down everyone that... Okay. Actually, I think I left you and Seth in there too, but I stripped down Seth.
Maybe we should preserve everything from Go as well.
Well, okay, then you have a synchronization problem. So,
unless that YAML file is just coming from the GitHub.
It's on our GitHub. It's just a modified version of it, I think. Or no, sorry, that file is not in version control because it.
It's a good idea to have it in version control just because it makes things
synchronize.
Yeah.
So it's not in our repo here.
No, because it has like user IDs and It's personal info. It's not stuff you're supposed to have up there.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is that an OSU regulation or something? Or because we expose ours. Well, but no.
Sorry, when I say not supposed to, like, no, it's not a regulation. I tend not to want to have that stuff in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, I mean, because the regular GitHub just has it in, this is like sample files, I think, doesn't it? Or I had to pull them from somewhere else.
So it's in the same directory that our dbxrefs file is.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Right. It's the Go site repository instead.
So we can revisit this later. The main thing is anyone who wants to use the Plantium Noctua for the Go meeting, for the Noctua meeting in June, it's a really good idea to have them registered in Justin's file in advance.
Okay, that's what I was kind of wondering about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That or return the local login back in and have a bunch of generic ones.
Yeah, I think it's best to have this. So I don't know how many people who, you know, obviously all of the Go people who turn up to that meeting will be probably using the Go instance, at least all the core Go funded people. Some of the people like Tear may be interested in both, but maybe before we go down that route, we should just discuss some of our expectations of what kinds of things should go in the Plantium one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I think Paul Thomas would be very keen to have anything that's describing in vivo cell biology go into the Go instance. And I would say the Plantium instance is where you can talk about phenotypes, you can talk about traits, you can talk about environmental effects on traits, a much wider range of things. Do you have Plantium OWL loaded as the main ontology here, Justin, or did you just go with the Go?
Yes. I managed to get that working sometime last week, and I still have it left as the context is Go, because otherwise the stuff on the sidebar kind of goes away.
Okay.
Is this the one?
Yes.
Well, I actually don't know if all the PO stuff is there because I didn't try to create a model, but it's loaded. So.
Hold on. So, Chris, your question is quite genuine, and so I know that Paul Thomas would love to have the Go thing going in there, but the question is, not all the plant entities are in Go instance of Noctua. And I would like, I don't want, from my personal thing is preferences, I don't want people to be hopping between the resources to do this thing. If the plant person, he or she comes in and they need the Go annotations as well as any phenotype and other annotations, they just do everything here. All we need to do is we need to find a mechanism to share the Go annotation and the models with you guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Rather than asking people, oh, you do Go over there and you do phenotype here. That's not going to work. And
fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and that was the goal we were trying to achieve, is all the plant work happens here. And then we become a conduit to pass it to the Go, right? But
okay. Well, I mean, that will take more discussion and coordination, because
right. But the question again is: are people interested in having the Noctua models, or concept graphs, or they are more interested in having Go annotation? That should be the bigger question.
Yeah. Because If 99% of usage is going to be just doing Go annotation, it probably makes more sense to have one instance and just load more entities in there. But I'm really excited about having the Plantium instance and having all of Plantium.owl there, so you can do the traits. And I'd like to actually put agro in there as well,
mm-hmm.
and as well as EO. I think that could be, that could lead to some very, you can have, it's not restricted, this tool is generic. It's not restricted to cell biology. We can use it to describe, different kind of like, the effects of different agronomic processes in agro and how they affect yield or, environment, things in ENVO, like, environment, pollution and so on. So,
yeah, I mean, and the way I'm looking at it, I think we need to build, it means the Noctua framework allows you to create any sorts of networks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we need to have some scripts written behind the scenes, how we would like to convert that graph into the meaningful Go annotations or GAF annotations.
So we have things that will translate it to GAFs, but that will always be lossy. So we're also developing, you know, you can also, the underlying data here is stored in a triple store. So mm-hmm. for advanced queries, you can do Sparkle, and we're going to have an API on top of this. So, mm-hmm. so there will essentially be two paths. You can do dumb lossy exports for simple mm-hmm. fields, and then you've got the full RDF for more complex things.
My whole goal is, let's say if people are working on the Noctua here on day four, and then day five is pathways, right? So mm-hmm. anything Sushma and Dahl and I are planning and doing in a way that anything that you need, any genes that you need to annotate for pathways, for example, have to be annotated a day before to cover all their Go annotation and any other extended Plenty-Omes ontology annotations.
Okay. Right. If you have like list of participants, like you said, like Sushma, Laurel, and what they might want to achieve, and it could be quite open-ended, but just
means idea is we are going to target a couple of focus pathways, mm-hmm. because if we go free for all, it won't work. So we want the people to review the papers before they come,
mm-hmm.
and have some kind of a table available, or make a table for them, what genes and things that the gene IDs and gene names and things like that.
Yeah. So, Justin, go back to one of the models and do the autocomplete. So the first thing that you're going to need to configure is...
yeah, that was Lowell.
Okay, yeah.
That's okay, I'll go. So you want to go to one of the models like this one?
Yeah. Just go to the autocomplete thing on individual. I always do that too.
I know. It seems like you should click there.
Well, I click on the edit button.
Yeah. So where do I? Oh yeah, edit. Okay.
I think that column should come first.
That would actually be nice. Yeah. So before we move on here, let me just clarify something that I wasn't clear about. So for the workshop demo, I mean the hands-on thing that we're doing at the Go meeting, we're going to be using the Plantium version, right?
So I would say that in the beginning, Chris, you would give a demo of the Noctua in general,
mm-hmm.
and how to do the things. And then it's, let's say, for a first half an hour. And if you want, you can walk them through one example. But people from Planty, interested in plants, will work on the plant version, and the other guys work on this their Go instance, right?
So you're thinking that we would have two different versions going during the workshop?
Well,
we can do that, or we just stay on the Go instance. But the problem is, if somebody's looking for maize genes, they won't find it.
Right.
Well, let's try and get those in advance. Let's maybe figure out, because if you really are doing models like this, then it may make more sense to do it in the Go one. But first of all, have you made this model, Lo?
No, it's just one that we've been kind of playing with.
Okay, but I just want, so you do have genes in your instance, so
mm-hmm.
yep.
click on add individual. I mean, I'm just double checking. So
FT1, for example.
Yeah. So how do you get those in of interest?
And this was made before I added the Plantium ontologies.
Yeah.
This is can you search for a gene?
Go to add individual.
Yep.
And check for SCR1. SCR only?
It popped up, yeah. SCR,
SHR.
I bet. No. Okay, so what's going on here? So, Justin, you have Plantium allocated, but what else? Do you have...
Well, and I had to modify the Plantium.l because it wouldn't let me, in the startup.yaml, it wouldn't let me put multiple ontologies in there. So I put the Go Lego in the Plantium.l.
And
okay, well, yeah. Well, that's not a good idea, because we should be loading in the Plantium.l. So that's the whole point of Plantium.l. It's the Plantium set of ontologies, and we shouldn't necessarily modify it. what you can do is you can make a new, you can make something like Plantium Noctua.al, and it can.
That's what I did.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, so you, I see. So you yeah, still
I want. I also took out like the CO ones.
Yeah.
It's just Go, PO, TO, and EO, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's perfect. What you did is perfect. So, but what we still need to do is, you know, you still need your genes in there. All you've got.
Well, right it is. It should be connected to. Oh, I know what the problem is. It's connected right now to our dev solar.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or Amigo, which has, I think, only one
Arabidopsis. So here's the problem. Also, means Chris, you should tell me what to do with it. What if it connects to the gene entries in the Amigo database? Then it pulls only the ones that are there. Okay, but if
So here's what we do for the Go instance. We have a totally separate. So our Noctua instance is driven by our Go Lego ontology, and part of the ontology imports what is essentially an ontology of genes, which is like a big flat list of all the genes that we care about. Which for Go is much more NIH focused and only doesn't have any plants other than tear. Mm-hmm. And we call that thing NEO, the Noctua Entity Ontology.
Mm-hmm.
And that has certain other advantages as well. For example, we inject into the label a four-letter code for the species name so that you would see PHYB, Oryza or whatever. Yeah. So one option is for you to basically make an ontology of all the genes you care about in the same way and have that be part of your import chain. You could do that by adapting our Neo scripts, but really it's super dumb. It just like goes through either a GPI file or a GAF file. And obviously, as you pointed out, the problem with going by the GAF file is you only get things that have been annotated. And it just you can just generate OBO if you want. And it's really just all you need is ID, label.
Name and synonym, right?
Synonyms help with autocomplete and also ISA to specify the type as well, so that Noctua knows that it's a gene versus some other thing in your ontology. So
I think I did create one for Arabidopsis long time back.
Yeah. So you, as I say, you can use our scripts to do that, but you may want to take charge of that yourself because I don't know where you get your canonical list from at the end of the day, if that would come in or, I could also help with it. Is there an API that could be used to basically pull all the plant genes you care about?
That's a possibility. I need to find out. I think it's Gramin Ensemble does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do it with an Ensemble.
Problem with Ensemble is that it may not be storing all the gene names and symbols. But definitely the IDs can be pulled in.
Yeah. Okay, so let's maybe. Yeah, I don't know if you want to try and tackle all the species you care about or if you want to just do a subset in advance.
Let's just do Arabidopsis and rice.
Okay. And for rice, is the GAF good enough or are there loads of unannotated genes that you will not find in the GAF?
I think the GAF has most... Justin, do you have the GAF with the Interpro IDs? Interpro annotations?
To Go.
Yeah, can you find out how many genes are there in that? And then I think we can find out that one. That's not at all a problem.
And if it's really just those two, I mean, we can also just add rice into the Go instance as well.
Okay, so wait a second. I'm sending a link in the chat.
You want Japonica or Indica?
Huh?
The rice.
Japonica.
Japonica.
Chris, you get a link in the
I'm getting your Skype. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here as well in the chat, there is a SVN where I did create a long time back. Arabidopsis Thaliana GeneIDs.obo.
You know, you could just go ahead and let me look at one. The other, there's a couple of subtleties here. One thing is that you need to Okay. So the you'd have to mess with the prefixes here. So we don't like the underscores and the prefixes and things like that. This is a bigger issue. Like this, this issue. Just you can't just. Is there a more canonical prefix for rice here, like a Grameen ID now?
For the rice one, no. I think this was an older version. I don't know.
We could do something hacky, Yeah. So I think we're good with the genes. We should, I'll probably have to follow up with you and Justin. The other thing I just wanted to point out while you're looking at this model. Oh, sorry. Let's go back to the model. Right. So this is
okay.
So first of all, this should not be possible to make a model like this. But unfortunately, we don't have constraint checking in place. But when we do, this will be flagged as invalid because the way we use Nuptu and Go and the way it's designed to be used is really for these causal models where we essentially see it as an activity flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so where you've got one gene regulating another gene here, that mm-hmm. regulates relationship in RO is constrained to only go from processes to processes. So the way we'd see it is the FT1 gene is executing some kind of function in the cell that regulates the function of the 5E gene. That's how we do it in... Now, obviously, this leads to slightly more voluminous models. I think it's really important if, insofar as you are doing these kind of causal biology models to do it in the same way. If you really do want to make direct interactions between the gene products themselves, there are different relations in RO that can be used that will at least result in a valid model. But even then, you will still be diverging from the Go modeling pattern. And I think it's important for doing any pathway, we just do it the same way. Otherwise, we'll just end up with a big mess, I think.
No, I think what we want to do is go with how the Go does it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about the interactions here. We're talking about how a process or a function A is regulating something else, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to quickly talk you how you might want to make a change in this model?
Sure. Clear.
Yeah.
You want me to give you the screen?
You can have an access to this model, right?
So by the way, you should know this cheat as well. If you give me that full URL, I can pretend to be you. So
this one up here?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I'll just put it in the chat.
Yeah. Mm. That's something to be aware of though. It's generally not a good idea to
Maybe you should hide the Barista tokens then.
We keep telling Seth this, but it's he likes it for debugging. It's not. I've not had anyone.
Well, going back to your question on how many, so the Go IPR scan for Rhizus sativa has 5,283 unique gene IDs.
Just 5,000?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to check back on that. So yeah, I think what we need to do is you, me, and Chris can work on creating a mock-up gene OVL, so that we can work on getting the full set of genes in it.
Okay, Chris, can you send me any documentation you create on the Neo scripts and how you that work?
Yeah. Basically, it's all in one repo. And let me. I'll just take them in the chat for now.
I think one issue is we don't have symbols for a lot of ours.
Yeah, it's good to always put in a label, but you can just put the ID as the label, and then presumably someone will have some way of knowing the ID.
And I think it is a good idea if I can have the access to, if we can create them OBO, then I can actually basically ask the community to start feeding the symbols and synonyms in the same file.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, so you can imagine using just the file in GitHub as the canonical gene nomenclature source.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. That'd be a really cool way of doing it, actually. But yeah.
Yeah, because then they don't have to manage it anywhere else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, shall I? Okay, I'll share my screen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll stop sharing.
Oh, no, keep on sharing.
Oh, I thought Chris was going to share his, he says.
Yeah. No, I thought we would
see. Be quicker. We've only got 20
minutes. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I just get that go away? Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so if you were doing this from scratch, you can use, these are basically like shortcut boxes. This add individual, it's like the, you know, this is the way to go if you're kind of comfortable with ontologies and Protégé and things like this. It's more, yeah.
Oh, and I just want to interrupt here. If I change the Noctua context to open, those boxes disappear. They add Anatom.
I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds like you should just keep it the same.
Yeah, don't make the boxes
disappear. Well, like I was hoping to be able to kind of add to them to add R.
Yeah, that's the idea. That's the idea moving forward, but we're not quite there yet, so.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote in a ticket and hopefully Seth saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
There's other things. This probably doesn't work, but try this. Maybe it's ambitious for the meeting, but there is a way to hook this up so that you can jump into Amigo and pull across existing annotations.
That would be the fantastic thing to get in.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe let's put a ticket on the Noctua tracker and see how easy that's going to be to configure. But the basic idea here is FT1 has some kind of function, and you might not know what it is. Even if you don't know what it is, you should just put in...
It's a transcription factor.
Okay, well, let's do that then. But if you didn't know what it is, you know, you can always annotate to the root.
Right.
And you should not be reading the obsolete.
No, that wasn't the, maybe my screen is laggy, but let me do it again. So never the obsolete one. So if you don't know what it is, you can just say it's got some kind of function.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the mechanism by which it regulates Phi B? Presumably, it's a transcription factor.
Yeah, and I think that's also another. We want to see the arrow, which way the arrow is.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I think it is the Phi B. The way it is showing it. For example, just say Phi B is regulating FT1. For example.
Oh, of course. I always get confused by these as well. And Steph tells me that the arrows look horrible, but. Everyone gets really confused. Okay, so yeah, it's...
Yeah, arrows would be nice.
Yeah. So what's Phi B's function?
It's a blue light receptor.
And is that how is it actually regulating FT1? What's the mechanism?
Blue light receptor promotes expression of FT1.
Okay. Let's just go with... Let's just go with a generic.
So Phi B has receptors.
Yeah. Oh. Let's do it this way. So so we go from here to here, and we say this receptor activity is enabled by this. So we should be able to rewatch. That's kind of annoying. It makes me re-choose. Oh, and I've lost it. Sorry. Okay, what was that relationship again? To which direction was it? Was it in this direction?
Before? Phi B is.
Yeah. Phi B. It's okay.
Yeah. So we'll do it this way. We'll do it from the activity. And was it positive, negative, or?
Positive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we are saying is that receptor activity enabled by Phi B.
Yes. Yep. So we've got activity to activity, and then FT1 is some kind of transcription factor.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst term to autocomplete on in Go. I think it's that one. Let's just go with that one for now. And again. Okay, this direction. And then let's drop that one. Oh, sorry, I made that wrong. It seems, this looks like a wee bit of an annoying, a glitchy bug. I can't actually move the relationship types. I've got to do this.
You have to recreate them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, okay, so this receptor activity. And it was positively regulated?
Yeah.
Okay, and this activity here is enabled by, so it looks like your genes have disappeared, but really this is just a UI convenience, and mm-hmm. it's actually what we call folded in here. So now you've got an activity flow diagram. You've got this receptor activity flowing over here, and this one, you know, flowing over here. In each case, the activity is optionally annotated with what the gene product that's doing the actual physical work there is.
Mm-hmm. Enabled by FT1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me just show you something. And again, this, you know, this is potentially confusing to do in a short time, but there's two views here. This is more like the base metal view. Mm-hmm. This is a view kind of like what you would see if you looked at, this is all owl. And you can just save this owl and look at it in Protégé if you really want to. This is what it really looks like under the hood. It's a graph with the FT1, sorry, this enabled by the FT1, this enabled by this, but that leads to a very clunky view, so we do this thing called an editor folded view, and putting it just kind of goes in there so that you really, you just see the activities flowing, okay. The genes inside the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic idea. So I would stick with this way of doing it for any pathway, essentially.
Right. Okay. So this was the go factor.
Mm-hmm.
And you were showing that there is can we bring the annotations from Omigo right away?
Well, this will have to be configured, but the way this works is it's something called the function companion.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take you here, but basically, I think
it should go to a dev dot.
Yeah, something like.
Or he would know that what is the URL, right?
Yeah. I to be honest, that's assessed quite how to wire that.
Okay, so we should be able to enable that feature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you get it, Justin?
Yeah. Well, I mean. Sorry, I went to go get a cup of coffee. I came in at the end of that. I don't even think changing that to browser Alplandium is going to work because it's by default looking not to a dev. I don't know what's supposed to.
Yeah.
Workbench thing was working, so I need, or like the page was coming up.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe I'll look through the Chrome inspector or whatever to figure out where it's supposed to be going.
You might need to just question Seth about that.
Okay. So the whole idea is if the gene or our object has an existing annotation, we pull from Omigo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fantastic.
So that means it needs to be pointed at the live version, not the dev. Unless we just
load. The dev version, I can load some annotations. I just can't do a full set.
Right. Maybe we could.
Why don't you just point it to, for the moment, point it to the live, or unless we want to create a snapshot of the live version and this.
Well, so one of my concerns was, and Chris, maybe you can answer, is this doesn't change the Solr instance at all, right? It just reads?
Just purely reads, yeah.
Okay. That was kind of my concern.
Right. And there are scripts now, Chris, so that you can convert that data into GAF and bring them back in the annotation in the next round, for example.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've never been able to get that create button to work that you're trying to do. I was
okay.
You got to go to the main page and use the big blue button. Yeah, that one. That's what.
All right. Yeah. We, you should.
I tried following that in the code. It's not hooked to any JS. So that button.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Empty.
So. There's different ways you can do this. This is the Go instance now. So you can go, you can just start with, you know, almost like a blank slate, and you can just start going, okay, well, I'm interested in, actually, this is only going to be.
Just take any.
Yeah, let's take that. So, and then you click import.
Oh, cool.
And then we go back to our model, and it's made a little base annotation there. So another way to do it is, let's say we let's go I think this will work. Let's see. Okay. Oh, I know. And then what I should be able to do, let's use this button, GP Buddy. Okay, that's a bit of an obscure name. Okay, so I'm in an existing box. I go GP Buddy, it takes me over here. And these are all the other, all the existing annotations for PQL3. So I can, I don't even have to search on PQL3 here.
The import.
Yeah, let's see. It's constrained it. Okay, I need to check. Is that what it's doing? But it looks like it's constraining it to just the cell component annotations.
Yeah.
The current cell component.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of worked. Yeah, it filled it in the occurs inbox there, chloroplast. That's kind of cool. Yeah. And I think you can do the same thing with the biological process. Yeah, we need better documentation for that, actually, because I'm not quite sure how that works, but it works.
Right.
Yeah.
So that way we should be able to import anything that's in there, or we just create a new annotation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do we really have to, if we already have an existing annotation, do we really need to bring it in?
Well, the reason to bring it in is this is a richer way of describing it. In your existing annotations, you might know that PQL3 is an electron transporter, and you may know it's in the chloroplast, but there may also be an annotation where it's also in the cytoplasm. They may have a different function. And so with the existing GAF annotations, you don't know that the chloroplast function is tied to electron transporter. I'm making this up here, but I assume that's true. And maybe the other function is, you know, associated with cytoplasm. So this way you can essentially link together existing annotations in a way that's more expressive than what you have already.
Okay. Right, excellent. So maybe Long, you can give it a shot at and try a couple of them, either on the Go instance or on the or on our instance.
For sure. Right?
And Justin, you try to find out how to connect to the pull the data from the existing pull the existing annotations.
Okay.
Now, what about doing non pathway annotations, or at least going beyond in vivo pathways? Do you foresee a use case, Pankaj, for this meeting for people wanting to use EO and the traits on?
Yes, that I was thinking about doing that too. And let's say the same gene was involved in some phenotype, right? Mm-hmm. For example, root length, or this FT is involved in flowering yeah. time.
Okay, so this is where we do, just to not control expectations, we're getting more into the Wild West territory here, because we haven't, there people have different ways of modeling what kinds of relationships apply here. And Marie is on the call, but she's familiar with some of the inconsistencies we have, you know, with, but actually in this case, we know root length is a patal length. So it's a continuant, not an independent continuant.
Right.
So we may not have all the relations in RO that
are required for being able to link this, but let's just say the entrainment by of circadian clock by photo period somehow regulates root length. That seems somewhat believable.
It's possible.
Yeah. One, yeah, and some of the relations are open to, you know, one thing I've been thinking that we might want to do is in RO is basically treat qualities in a similar way to processes in that they can be regulated. In fact, we do regulation in Go, so regulation of qualities. So you can, we could actually do here that this
positively
regulates root length. That seems to me to be acceptable for now. I mean, if we need to, we can always do mass search and replace later on. And furthermore, for EO, if we go with what Marie and Pierre were suggesting and treat them as planned processes, they're essentially a similar kind of node to all these ones, and you can use essentially the same relationship types.
So EO, for example, here is a red light.
Yeah. Red light
signal, yeah.
And so this could go this way, for example?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is...
Has participant or something?
No. So again, has participant. So, okay, so the upper level stuff that you really care about are, there's basically continuance and occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And has participant goes, you know, crosses that divide. So part of is always between two things that are like. So part of, you can have it's part of cell, and you can have a process part of a process. Has participant crosses those. So
we're saying, yeah, EO regulates.
Yeah. Again, we're assuming there's a commitment in EO here that these are processes.
Yeah.
It'd be good to actually do that. And, you know, in Plantium.owl, either in Plantium.owl itself or in some, you can have kind of a bridge ontology, or just actually, we can just go in and do this to EO directly and add imports into EO and say import RO and make it a subclass of, you can even import OB planned process if you don't want to go that route, but you know.
That's fine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. I think I started to do some work on the EO to model data processes in a branch on the EO repo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So we don't, Noctua doesn't need that at the moment. It works fine if it's uncommitted, but what we want to avoid is a situation where the people doing the Noctua modeling are making completely different assumptions. So it's really vital that you keep
Marie. No, I think this is fine. So we were able to do this, and then we how about, let's say if we do a plant part, if we can add?
Yeah, so root.
Yeah. Root.
NCBI checks
on not the NCBI one now.
I think we've just got to overwrite that in NCBI.
I think we should be looking at root system, right?
Root system, yeah.
So how do we connect that?
So you could say this occurs in the root system, or?
Well, no.
Yeah, it can occur in, for example.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be only for processes?
Occurs in would go from a process to a continuant. So a root system is a continuant, not a process, is mm-hmm. NPO.
Okay.
Occurs in would be at least be valid as far as RO is concerned.
Okay.
Maybe you want to say something stronger. That they actually.
Can we look at the list again? Of relations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would do this. So here's these. This first set that you see is basically the set that you generally need 99% of the time when you're doing a Go pathway type model. And after this is just a list of every relation that's been imported.
Mm-hmm.
So you can search in here. But the thing to avoid is just picking one that sounds right. Because unfortunately, we've got an open ticket here to actually be able to browse the RO constraints and so on here. But really, at the moment, this requires that you know that you know the semantics of the relation that you want.
I don't know if this is time to bring it up, but Punkett, were you asking to be able to edit this list?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's worth spending time on that. I say stick to this list if you're just doing, you know, the in vivo pathway. And then for doing things like we're doing here with, you know, and you even saw, like, so far for bringing in Tio and EO, I use things from that list. And I think if you want to do more advanced things, then we just have a checklist that people can look at. And that checklist will be defined by, you know, people like, you know, if you want to know how to connect, you know, an EO term to something else, then Marie is, you know, maybe can help with the checklist for the set of relations that are valid there. But if you want to go from a Go term to a PO term, then that's really a Go, that's a Go design pattern function. Function is one word, that's a Go design pattern thing. And we're actively working on some of these design patterns. So you can always like look at the existing Go ontology and see what relationships we're using for things like this.
Right. So right now we can just go ahead and use the occurs.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And obviously
they're commonly used ones. So
occurs. Yeah, that is fine. Another thing was I was looking at, for example, entrainment of circuit clock process positively regulates root length. Now, obviously, this is a condition. This is a thing, but it is condition dependent on red light regimen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are not able to do it right now at this point of time. But
when you say conditional, you're saying it
means that this positively regulates root length only under red light regimen.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That condition is not there. Connected to the edge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we can definitely, the Noctua workshop will be, it will be a discussion
period. Yeah.
I think, Paul will definitely have.
And I'm pretty sure it's possible only for, also for any of the Go annotations as well, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It regulates B only under a certain condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that way the edge has a condition,
mm-hmm.
not the gene or process. Process can be independent, right?
That's a bigger discussion, I think. That's
right. The two processes are connected based on a condition.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That could be one way. Yeah, but I think this is allowing us to capture mm-hmm. much of the information that people would be interested in annotating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we managed to get PO, TO, EO, and GO, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How about the growth stage?
If it's in plantium.al, it should be here.
Let's say a germination stage, for example. Seed germination stage. I can just take this one, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship would be? Occurs in, again?
Not, the root system could occur in the germination stage. But I think here, you could just say part of. So again, it's the same. We don't actually have any. Again, this is, I think how you're, for your stages, in your stage ontology, I think you're mostly using, you've got house participant relationships, but how are you doing the timing between the stages? Are you doing precedes and so on?
Yes, and we're using house participant for the entity and during mm-hmm. stage.
Yeah, yeah. So you can just say
so we have participates in, yeah.
Yeah. So you could say, for example, this starts during, because maybe
I would say happens during.
Happens during, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Has function, has quality, has role, has disposition. I was just looking at the different.
So what I'm getting at, and you also mentioned, and I think we need to have some kind of a cheat sheet.
Yes.
To create, these are the relationship types that you would be using.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are tons of them, but for the moment, just let's focus only on
exactly, yeah.
So 10 or 15 of those. Or maybe top level 5 or 6 relationship types. That's what you're more or less.
Yeah.
So in the end result, there is it possible that when you click on one entity and then click, you know, drag the relationship to another entity, that list that shows up would be constrained? Oh, yeah.
There's open tickets for all of these.
That would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I assume that was the way it would go, but that would be awesome.
Yeah, if it knew the domain and range and what the relationship constraints were. One other question I had, Chris, is, you know, we have some special relations in the PO and in the TO now, too.
So, they should be available.
They should be?
If they're in Pantheon to OWL, then they should be available.
So now the question I have is why we should be using the ontology relationships here.
I don't get the question.
Question is, let's say if we have proceeds from or has participant or something like that, why do we have to use the RO relationship types? Because these are object relationships, and these are not ontological relationships.
Okay, maybe what you're saying is that we have relationships in the ontology and we have relationships in the models.
Yeah, we are not building relationships within the ontology, right?
Yeah, okay, so the formal answer is this is a set of canonical instances of these classes. So when you make a relationship here, you are not talking about all seed germination in general. You're not talking about all entrainment of circadian clock by photoperiods. You're talking about in this particular larger context, this relationship holds. Mm-hmm. So there would be no need to make redundant things that you're stating in the ontology always hold. So let's say hypothetically in Go, we could say this process always occurs in seed germination stage. If that was always true, this process, we could add it into Go and there would be no need for you to add it into this model because it would be inferred.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we have a good overview, and I believe LOL is recording it,
mm-hmm.
so that you can start working on your SOP
mm-hmm.
to guide, and you can actually use this model actually if you want to or another model, just to see how far you can go.
Okay,
and don't have to have 15, 20 different genes. I think 2 or 3 genes would be enough. Which has all the major ontology types that we are using.
Yeah, and I may be available the day before the main Go meeting starts if we want to go over some of this. And so it looks like Marie, you're going to be there as well, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm liking this thing because at some point, Marie, you should also think about, let's say, if a crop ontology person or a person in CG system wants to set up an experiment. Right, so they can use a combination of EO and TOs and COs to actually create their experimental workflow in it.
Yeah.
Before they proceed, right? You can have a study when it comes from EO, like a field study, and then what are the components of the field study, and what are the traits and parameters they're going to test. So that model is ready. All they have to do is submit is that model along with their study. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. That can be very useful.
Even for a gene expression study, for example, what was the plant material? What was the development stage? What was the anatomy part? And what kind of conditions were used in that experiment? But we don't have to go there right now, but I think...
I mean, this is a little similar to what we do in the agronomy ontology, I think. So, yeah.
But you can use this platform.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Right, excellent.
Okay.
Right.
What about adding aggro into the import chain? Do we have any use cases where we might actually want to? Because you don't have to do any cell biology at all. You can create models where you say, okay, on these particular conditions, this kind of agronomic treatment, leads to these kinds, you know, increased, decreased yield, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pushing things or? Do you think it'd be useful to do some things like that?
I think they should be able to create that in agro.
Yeah, I think it would be cool for like diseases too. I keep thinking of this in the disease context because there might be genes, there might not be genes that are known, but if we can put agronomic conditions and treatment conditions and even germplasm or like background, genetic background conditions, then we could model like disease resistance or susceptibility studies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or just, for example, a disease, what are the molecular function and processes associated with that? And what are the traits that you're observing? And
yeah, absolutely. That'd be like symptoms. You know, you can use the traits as like expression of disease. It results in these traits, which would be useful for like symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of, and you're making it in the ontology, you actually use the natural model to create your model for that disease. And then behind the scenes, you should be able to enrich the ontologies.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Excellent. All right. Do we have more time?
Well, we're down. Brandon and Dario and Dennis had to leave already. We're already well past the hour, and people are coming into the office now. But we could continue this next week if we wanted to.
Sure.
Yeah. It wouldn't hurt, actually, probably to have another go around with this. I'm going to work on the modeling some more, and we'll talk about it some more.
Right. So the idea is take home messages that you would work on at, let's say, on this model to improve certain things and build your SOP around it. Mm-hmm. And then Justin needs to work on how to connect this thing to for importing the existing annotations.
Mm-hmm.
And and is there a way to bring in the boxes? Do you want to create the boxes for PO and other stuff, or we just in terms of add annotation boxes? Or we just don't?
I'm not sure who you're asking. You're asking Justin?
Yeah, just.
So, sorry, what was the question?
Do we need to add additional boxes for additional ontology types in the
app? No, that's not going to happen for the meeting, unfortunately. So if you're doing stuff outside the standard patterns, you're just going to build it up using the add individual box and linking things together.
Yes.
The other boxes are just purely convenience.
Mm-hmm. So I think we can do that. We can say, hey, this is a primary version of with the Go, but additional ontologies use search and add by adding add individual, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as we move along, you will start seeing the additional boxes at some point.
Yeah. So I
guess. Do you want me to disable those other boxes then, or just leave them in for now then?
Well, we definitely need to add Anaton, right?
My point is those only work for the Go ones right now, I believe. Function
and the process ones too. Oops.
I think leave that in as it is, because what I just saw was Chris was able to add enabled by is gene name or ID, and then added the Go terms in the other boxes and said add. It automatically clubbed them together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whereas and additional ones will add it. Otherwise, people would have to add everything one by one. So for Go, it would go through this way, and the other ones you pull through add individual.
That sounds good.
Okay.
But we might maybe don't need the add function, add process, but let's leave them there for right now.
Just leave it as it is. Don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Okay. We've got a lot of other things to fix and
work. Yeah, I think you have. So idea is, and the next, so importing the existing annotations is one to-do list option item. Another one is on creating the OBO files with gene IDs and name symbols, right?
Well, those are kind of connected, right?
What?
Well.
No. Right now, GAF has only the ones which are annotated. You don't have the ones which are not.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay, so we need to create one which has a complete set of the proteome. Okay?
Okay.
So I need to find a mechanism, and if Chris has some scripts to do it or an input format, then let us know, and then we will work on that. And get ready next 1 week or so. Okay? So we should check back on the progress next week.
Yes, sounds good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks. Good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm.